Hi and welcome to What's Next Rethinking Architecture. I'm Therese, your host, and this week's guest is Erik Jerschiel, an inspiring young architect from Sweden. I can't wait to share this amazing interview with you, so let's get started and have fun listening.
Hello, Erik. Thank you for taking the time to be on my show. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. It's very nice to be here.
Yeah, thank you. Please introduce yourself and your studio.
Well, my name is Erik Jerschiel, and I'm based in Gothenburg, Sweden. And I have my own studio that I work around 20%. And then I work for another company 90%. So I do some work in my own company, and mostly developing ideas and more art projects, kind of like that, but also on ordinary architectural work.
That sounds interesting. When did you start your own studio?
I don't remember. I think it was like 5 years ago, give or take.
And who was your first client?
Oh, my first client.
Oh, why did you start?
Well, I started because I wanted to be able to develop some ideas I had about architecture and to really go all the way, go through with them, to have that freedom. When you work in an ordinary company, you have so many parameters that you have to toggle. So I felt that I wanted to try them out all the way.
Okay. Before we get deeper into this topic, we start in general our interview with some warm-up questions about the person I'm interviewing. And the first question would be, what's your favorite drink?
Well, that one was easier. It's coffee.
Really?
Yeah, I drink huge amounts of coffee every day.
What coffee? Do you have like a special technique to do it? Because there are some experts that have like a big knowledge about coffee and don't drink the normal stuff that you can get in the office. Are you one of those experts, or do you just like coffee?
I'm an all eater, but of course, with time, I have grown a particular taste. But usually, at home, I make it with a mocha espresso, uh-huh. The Italian coffee. I guess that's my favorite if I'm not in a bar or a cafe.
Interesting. All my guests never said coffee before. It was most
oh, really?
Most of the time it was alcoholic stuff.
Well, I'm not against that, but I feel coffee is very good for my mind.
Okay, next question. If you could develop a skill overnight, what would you wish for?
That one was harder.
You can be anything. You can choose anything.
That's the problem. It's so wide. But I think languages is, I would like to learn Japanese overnight.
Yeah.
Because I really want to go there and see the country and a lot of architecture mm-hmm. projects. But I also feel wherever I go, I want to be able to speak the local tongue
yeah.
a bit. You get so much closer to the country and the people, and if you were able to
yeah,
do that.
It's a whole different experience, I think.
Yeah, me too.
But would you like to work in Japan also, or just visiting?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that would be fun, but I also know that they have very tough work ethics. So I'm not sure. I mean, I like to work a lot too, but it's a different kind of way to work, I think. I know too little to say yes or no on that one.
Maybe you will figure it out in the future when you're actually there and then you feel like, okay, now I want to stay here and work a little bit.
Yeah, probably.
And design a Japanese garden.
That would be fun.
I would like to do that one day.
Me too.
Next question and last question about the warm-up. What's your favorite hobby besides architecture?
Oh, I have so many hobbies, but I have to say astronomy.
Really?
Recently, I have been studying on my own a bit about astronomy and quantum physics and physics in general. That interests me very much because it has to do with, you know, the meaning of life, and it's so... So big questions, and that interests me a lot.
Interesting. If you start your design process, how do you start? Do you need total freedom, or do you have a set of rules, or how do you start?
Well, I have developed a design process which I have formalized and are still formalizing,
really?
Where I try to go through some steps and think in a certain way, and it is still under development, but the broad strokes are, first I always try to gather all the parameters to understand what the project is all about, and gather a lot of information, and then I try to work with the material, and with that I don't mean designing. Try not to design at all, but get to know the material to understand it. And then usually the creative part takes place, and I have tried to develop a method to be able to be creative on demand, because usually, you know, when you think about creative people, it just comes to them in a, you know, over a glass of wine or sleeping or whatever.
Or maybe a bottle of wine.
Yeah, perhaps. So I try to, I have made like research methods to get in that state of mind by design, so to speak.
It sounds like you created a personal algorithm. Are you into IT and programming?
Well, IT, I mean, I'm not an expert, but of course, it feels like everyone has to be into IT these days.
I started to learn Python, but it's giving me a really hard time.
What is that? Is that
Python is a program language for... I heard it's the best for starters, because it's not that hard to complete. It's not that hard to understand. But still, it's complicated.
Cool.
Do you have maybe an example of a project that you could describe? One of your private projects.
Well, yeah, I have one project that I kind of used the whole toolbox, and it was a villa for a private client, and I also think I also want to say when I mean the creative part is one part, but it's also, I'm always looking for some kind of order, some kind of structure of a project. And that could be construction. It could be natural light and the site or whatever. But I always try to find an order that kind of governs a grammatics that I use. And in this particular project, I used, for example, natural light as the main idea in the project. So every room had a specific dealt with natural light in a specific way. So it could be, for example, indirect light or skylight or small, very little light, almost dark, completely dark, and so forth. So it was like a whole spectrum of natural light conditions.
And if you, when you're in this designing process, what does it in this moment mean for you to be an architect?
Well, that's a good question. I see it as a bit like the architect has to be the mediator to bring all the information together and find the direction to get most quality out of the project. And what that is can be very project specific, but we work, of course, with a lot of other disciplines, and the architect has to be the director of all these skills in a way.
And do you think, relating to artificial intelligence, our role as architects is going to change? And if yes, in what direction?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I think the obvious answer is, of course, yes. It will change, but I think it will be very gradual. I mean, I still think that the architect has to have this role as kind of directing everything to one goal. Yes.
Okay. And don't you think artificial intelligence is going to take over some of our jobs? And what happens to the jobs that we had, and what happens to the people? Because everybody is saying, okay, then we just create new jobs. But can you really create so many new jobs in so little time? Because artificial intelligence is already here. So,
yeah, I think it depends on the time scale. I think in the next couple of years, like five years maybe, it will be like the change will be quite small. But there will be a time when we really have to take this problem seriously, of course. I mean, artificial intelligence is made by humans, so it will be very human. It will have flaws like we do, and it will have temper, and then of course it's the hardware is something else, of course, and that makes that also have some limitations for artificial intelligence, but also some pros to artificial intelligence, of course.
Are you afraid of AI, or are you looking forward to AI and helping you with your ordinary stuff during the day, and you can just concentrate on the really important things that are your most interested in?
I think in my mind it's like nuclear power. It can be very dangerous, but it all can also be very helpful. So that's like a question for the whole human yeah. race, how we kind of should deal with these problems and the benefits. But yes, of course, there are some huge challenges with adapting to this new technology and also try to deal with the dangers.
And how do you imagine the future design process?
Well, I have I think it will, as I said in the start, be more like a helpful tool, and you can select specific tasks for artificial intelligence to work with. And I think you can use it in all disciplines, and this will of course change gradually. So in artificial intelligence can step by step do the full architecture work. I think that's clearly possible in the future.
Okay. And
are you very optimistic about timescale about this? Or because I think it's a couple of decades away, in my view. What do you think? Do you think it's closer?
I think it's closer. I feel like we are almost artificial intelligence, because we always have our phone. It's not integrated in our bodies yet, but we always have it with us in the pocket or wherever, or in the hand. So we're almost part of this artificial intelligence thing. And it's almost the next step would be that we just have an implant or whatever. And then, but I think it's faster than we all think it is, because it's already here and it's just a matter of time, but I don't think it takes so long.
No, I mean, you're completely right. We have had artificial intelligence for quite some time now, but people don't think about it because it's so integrated in our lives.
Please continue.
Well, the big question is when it has the same abilities as humans, completely, with all what that means, and that's the part I think is a couple of decades away. But specific tasks, yes, sure, it's very close in my mind.
Yeah, it is. And the really big question that I'm thinking a lot about is this climate crisis is like rushing towards us, and it feels like nobody is doing anything. So we're worrying about artificial intelligence taking our jobs, but maybe in 50 years this planet is not existing anymore because we didn't use artificial intelligence right to maybe stop this crisis. What do you think about it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think artificial intelligence can help us with solving a lot of big, challenging problems. So we should, of course, use every tool we have in the toolbox to address the climate change, and artificial intelligence can be one.
Because we're talking about self-driving cars, whatever, but all those batteries that are thrown away, all the cell phone trash or whatever, and that's just waste that destroys our planet. So is this really making sense at all, what we're doing?
Well, I think it depends, because what we can, I mean, we are in the midst of a big change in in our societies right now. And Corona, for example, has driven this change even faster. And I mean, it's all about using the resources we have in the smartest possible way. And for example, if we can use fewer cars, but we can share them and artificial intelligence can help us with that, that could be at least could be one step in the right direction. And so instead of having like two cars for every family, maybe you can have one car for every two families. And that will have an impact on environmental issues, of course.
And how do you imagine the future living and working space? Do you think we're just going to sit at home and have our virtual reality glasses on and live from our from our apartment?
Well, at least for me, it has been almost like that. Not the glasses, but it has been a lot of working from home. And it changes the whole society, not always in a particularly sustainable way, because now everyone wants a 4 or 5 room apartment instead of a 2 or 3 room apartment. So that requires even more resources. But it will change, especially how we travel on a daily basis. I'm sure of that. And office places will change a lot, I think. It will be more, probably, more of a social space and a place for team building and stuff like that, and a lot of meetings. And a lot of like ordinary office work will be done at home. Not for everyone, but for a lot of people, I think. What do you think?
I actually hope so, because I am not the person that likes to sit from 9 till whatever time in the office at your desk just because you have to. That doesn't mean I don't want to work. It just means I would like to work how it fits my day best. And then you can have like this hybrid work concept. You go there, you have the meetings, you talk to your colleagues, whatever. But then you go home or wherever you want to work, because that's more freedom. And I think we all need more freedom in the way
we work. And I think many companies have realized that done in the proper way, this will be more effective, get more work done in a shorter time if people actually can participate in choosing how they work most efficiently. And also, but I also think it will have like some impact on, for example, housing and apartments, and also on like more co-working spaces in the city that you can sit on your office or meet there and maybe go work somewhere else in another space, and then you can work at home. So we will be working with this for a couple of years now, I think.
For a couple of years, and after that, artificial intelligence is working for us and we're not doing anything anymore.
when artificial intelligence work for us, that's a question, that's a so big question, because do we pay artificial intelligence a salary? Or how are they our slaves, more or less? Or how does that work? I mean, that's also interesting.
No, I think we don't have anything to do with them anymore. We're just living our lives. We get like a certain amount of money per month, and that's just it. And the human race is kind of like done. So they're just tolerating us.
Yeah, a friendly coexistence, yeah. Maybe. But I think always people will always work, even if it's whatever it is, because that's kind of in our nature. I've seen some studies that say most people are happiest at work, actually. So I think in the pursuit of happiness, work will be essential, even though the most of the hard work will be done by artificial intelligence or robots, maybe. So people will probably find a way to work anyhow. Okay.
And do you think we should draw a clear line between humans and artificial intelligence and put the human race more to the animal world, for example, to the natural world, and draw this line there? Because I have the feeling that humans are always closer to technique, but I don't think that's correct, because the technique is always for solving problems, and humans are not just there to solve problems. That's a small part of us. So why are we always on this side and not to the natural world, closer to the natural world?
Well, I think there is no clear boundary between the natural world or the, for example, artificial intelligence, because artificial intelligence will be made by humans, so it will be very like us. And of course, they will develop on their own, like, you know, like babies do. You have some genes and some upbringing, and then they develop in their own way. But they will still be some parts of them will be very like their parents. And the same with the artificial intelligence. We will be the parents, the human race will be the parents of this new creation. And it will evolve, of course, and maybe very rapidly, but there will always be some kind of, you know, rest of the starting point, or like in biology, for example, we're all ancestors of one single cell back in the day, and we have a lot in common in history, so to speak. I think that's my view.
And do you think, maybe regarding COVID right now, that we have future building tasks for really big buildings? Or do we just stop that and let you put your glasses on, your virtual reality glasses, and AI just transcends like smells and feelings and whatever, so you don't have to enter a really big old church anymore to just get this atmosphere. You just get it from your little apartment. Do you think this is the future where we're going forward to?
Well, I think in a way, yes, because at some point there will be hard to distinguish from being in a church or being in a virtual church. But I think the humans are very, they like their traditions very much. So even though we do a lot of strange stuff that is not kind of modern, or we don't even like it very much, but we still do it.
For example?
Like a lot of strange things we eat, for example. There is like a rotten fish in Sweden that people eat at specific occasions, and it is smells disgusting, and it is disgusting, but people do it anyway, you know, because it's tradition. So it's from the day when people were starving and they had to eat this very bad fish. So I think we are very traditional, bound to our traditions also. So maybe in the far future, this will sort of fade away, but it will take a long time.
Do you think it will also take a long time if you have those Oculus Rift glasses, like for sale, in any store, in every store you walk by, you can just get these glasses? And do you think then it would take that much time?
Well, it's also where what you're growing up with, because there are already like virtual shopping experiences that are growing very popular, and if you are in a certain age, you're more you accept this more easily. There is a time lag in that some things will take, you know, a couple of decades because a new generation has to grow up with this. Mm-hmm. I think.
Would you like to live in that kind of world?
Yeah, I think that could be exciting. I mean, not every aspect of it, but I mean, if you look back, like in the 1800s, where kind of nature were more pristine and there were more humans were closer to nature. That was also the time of industrialization. Mm-hmm. And with coal mines and black smoke everywhere, so every time has its pros and cons, so to speak, I think.
Okay, and coming back to architecture, do you think at some point we should stop building our houses and everything the way we're doing it now? Because reconstruct something and we put like millions of little pieces together that everybody wants to sell, and it's a lot of trash that comes there, the isolation, it's like unbelievable. So at some point, why don't we just start thinking about growing architecture and not building it? If you synthesize biomaterials, for example.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. The way we build now is not sustainable in any way.
No. And at some point, I just don't get it anymore, because we have to put so big isolation that's just, nah.
Yeah, it's crazy, and as you say, with it's very hard to recycle everything, even though. I think there are thinking about your questions. I think there's two trends now, and one which I hope will kind of help us. And one trend is that we use more technology and working with biology that will sort of be the high-tech track to go. And I think that's interesting if we can use it like fully and not just as a varnish over our very bad way of building buildings. And then there is also another trend right now that I think people are looking, because there's so much rapid change in society right now. A lot of people feel they can't, you know, follow this. So there has been recently a lot of people are looking back to a time when, you know, things were more handmade and tactile, and like a stone building was made of stone and not like 100 layers of plastic and insulation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think those two will happen simultaneously.
Okay.
Yes.
So I will ask you the question again. Do you think our role as an architect must change? That we're not just an architect, but that we are a problem solver at the intersection of biology, architecture, design, technology, that we have to be all of those other parts as well to be a good architect in the new world?
Yes, I think so. And I think it's already heading there because, I mean, actually, you know, designing as an architect is a very, very small part of the workday. Yeah. I don't know, maybe 5-10%. And the rest is solving technical, legal, environmental problems. So I think we're heading there very much. But I also want to think that we can be able to think about how we live also, because it's very, you know, it's everyone are supposed to live in the same way more or less now. And I don't think it has to be like that. And I don't think people want it to be like that. Okay. People, you know, there's standardized apartments that all look the same, often very bad. Plans and stuff like that, and you have to adapt your life after this standardized way of living. But people are so different.
Can you draw me your future way of living? If you could choose for yourself, how would you live?
Yeah. Well, maybe I'm not a typical person, but...
Even better.
But I think for me, it's has a lot to do with, you know, more like a feeling about the place I stay in. So it's not so much about, you know, the square meters, the insulation and stuff like that. I want to live in a, as I call it, a poetic space, where, you know, it's not just that I'm warm and it's very efficient, but it has to have some kind of, how do you say, atmosphere in the space I live.
Okay. And what are we going to do with all those singly family homes and all the people that still think this is the right direction into the future? You have to have those two cars, you have to have like three children and the single family home with the garden around. Do you think,
yeah,
when is the human race ready to understand that this is maybe not the way of living anymore? And not, it shouldn't be the goal. Like,
no, that is, I think we are in the, maybe the last phase of this, this way of doing things, urban sprawl. It's still going on and it's very, Corona has made it even more, attractive to, live in a so-called urban sprawl area. But, I think there has to be a change in how we look at successful life, you know, how we measure a successful life. And right now, for a lot of people, this is still, like here in Sweden, a villa and two Volvos and a dog is, yeah, still the, you know, okay, that's how it should be done, you know.
What means having a successful life for you?
I think more and more it is has to do with time, to have time, because there is so little of it.
Yeah.
Have time to, you know, reflect over things. So having enough time to reflect over important stuff, that is successful life for me.
Yeah, sometimes I personally have the feeling that life is just rushing by and you just think, oh my God, what did I do? What did I do last week? Yeah. I just sit in the office and work for someone else. What did I do with my life? And since we're still young, maybe we should start thinking differently and figuring out a way how we can change that.
Yeah, and I think also to, I mean, of course you can make a big change in your in life, but I think it's the most important thing is the accumulation of many small changes, like in everyday life. If you make a little small change, then the effects will, gather up and be significant. So you don't have to, move into the forest and start hunting deer or something like that, but you can, make small changes and head there. Mm.
That's a really good point. And last question, what is architecture for you personally?
Oh, that's so hard to answer. I mean, it's a big part of my life, and I think it's super important. Like everything, you get very interested of and learn more about, it gets important, of course, but it has also, it's very important for how we develop our societies also, because what we draw today will affect people the coming decades, even the coming millennia, for thousands of years, if you look at, for example, city planning. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's very important as an architect to observe what is working and what is not, and learn from that. And we don't have to invent the wheel every time, but actually look on what works and use that knowledge to make our cities and houses and offices better. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't say that we should be skeptical about new innovation. I think that's also very important to embrace innovative thinking.
That was a great answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on the show. It was really nice talking to you. It was super interesting and inspiring.
You too. And thank you for, it made me really think about a lot of important stuff. So that was really nice for me also.
Yes, sometimes it's really nice to just take the time besides your normal work stuff and just think about questions that are already, or questions or problems that are already coming towards us, and just taking the time to talk with someone about it.
Yes, it's really valuable. So thank you for that.
I thank you.
This was this week's episode. I think it was such an amazing and inspiring talk. So thank you again, Eric, for taking the time. It was a pleasure. I hope you guys liked it as much as I did. And it would mean the world to me if you would subscribe to my podcast. But till then, have a really nice weekend. Have a great week. Until next time on What's Next? Rethinking Architecture. Ciao, ciao.